This is the English translation of the message delivered by Pastor Che in the morning service of October 27, 2024. The title of the message is In Your Most Holy Faith. The scripture passage is from the Epistle of Jude. Chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. Good morning. This morning, would you like to look at the Epistle of Jude? And let's turn to Epistle of Jude, chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. The Epistle of Jude is a short 25 verses long letter. It was written by Jude, who introduced himself as the brother of James and the servant of Christ. He is also the physical brother of Jesus. Like the New Testament's second epistle by Peter, the Epistle of Jude also deals with false prophets and false teachers. Jude said this in verse 3, "Although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share." This letter is written to those who believe in and accept Jesus Christ. Jude wanted to write about the salvation they had received, but he felt the need to encourage them to fight the fight of faith. It seems that Jude felt a great sense of crisis about the series of events within the church. He then encourages them to fight for the faith. He explains that there will be judgment. I think that this expression expresses how urgent and dangerous this truth is, a truth that shakes the entire church. In this letter, he explains the need for fighting for the faith and also talks about how we should fight. The passage I chose today is about how we should fight. First, let us look together at the need for the fight of faith that Jude wrote about. Jude gives examples from the Old Testament to explain this need. It reminds us of the past when God's judgment was given to such people and their actions. These Old Testament examples were probably the main difficulties facing the church to which Jude is writing and the factors that were confusing their faith. Let us look at the examples given in verses 5 through 7. Here, we see three Old Testament events. The first is the people whom God rescued from Egypt in the book of Exodus, but who did not believe in God. The second example is the angels who left their proper place. And the third example is the unnatural carnal desires of Sodom, Gomorrah, and the surrounding cities. These are the events that are all too familiar to the Jews. Despite the evidence of God's many works, those who did not believe, those who veered out of the bounds of God's permission, and those like Sodom and Gomorrah who ignored the order of creation through their lust, are set to face the final judgment. These three examples show that the judgment will surely come to those who do not believe in and live in disregard of God's authority and the order of creation. By using the word judgment, Jude seems to be reminding us that the church must first and foremost be a group based on God's authority and God's order of creation. He is saying that this principle, which existed long ago in the Old Testament, or even before creation began, is the foundation of this saved flock church, and the fact that must be acknowledged. Then, in verse 11, Jude gives another example from the Old Testament. The first three examples he gives are examples of groups, such as the people of Israel, the angels, and Sodom and Gomorrah. Next, he gives another example of the actions of an individual. Jude chapter 1, verse 11. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. Examples of Cain, Balaam, and Korah. These people are also too familiar to Jews. Let us then look into those three people more in detail. First, let's talk about Cain. Do you remember who Cain was? He was a character who appeared in the book of Genesis. He and his brother offered a sacrifice to God, but God did not accept Cain's sacrifice. In anger, Cain killed his own brother. This was a horrible incident. In the letter of Jude, it says Cain's way, but what exactly does Cain's way refer to? Let us look at Genesis chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." God did not accept Cain's offering. Personally, I think this was more due to a difference in the heart of the person offering it than the difference in what was offered. In verse 7, God points out Cain's mistake, saying, "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted?" God also presents the actions he should take from now on. God says, "Since desires to have you, but you must rule over it." God very clearly informs Cain of his mistake and teaches him what he should do from now on. That is, that he must rule over sin. However, Cain did not accept these things and committed sin. Cain's way is when one clearly knows that standards that God expects of him or her, but he or she does not accept those standards. That is, there are standards, but I do what I think is right. Denying that God judges our world by absolute standards, pretending not to know it, believing that I'm right no matter what. In other words, confronting it head on and ignoring the standards, I think that is Cain's way. Then it is written that the Israelites followed the way of Cain and fell into the error of Balaam. Let's recall for a moment what this error was. Balaam is a character who appears in Book of Numbers, chapter 20, 22 through 24. The book of Numbers covers this incident of Balaam at great length. When did it happen? After living in the wilderness for 40 years, the Israelites finally arrived in the land of Moab, on the other side of the land of Canaan to the east. Crossing the Jordan River takes them to the long-awaited land of Canaan. The Israelites had won a battle against the Amorites and other foreigners, and had come to the land of Moab. The king of Moab decided that he could not defeat Israel by force, and thought that he could curse Israel with Balaam's prayer. So he promised to give Balaam a large sum of money. Numbers chapter 22:18. But Balaam answered them, "Even if Balak, the king of Moab, gave him all the silver and gold in his palace, I could not do anything great or small to go beyond the command of the Lord my God." And God put words in his mouth and removed the veil from his eyes so that he could see the angel of the Lord. Through various events, God clearly showed Balaam many times that that is not what God wants. Many times, in other words, he said, "Yes, I understand. I will do as you say." But Balaam also moved from place to place as the king of Moab ordered, waiting for God's words, thinking, "If I go to that mountain, God might say something different." What is shown here is, it is God's word, so I must keep it, but I also want the silver. Balaam is torn between these two. He clearly understands God's words and will. He understands that he must obey, but he also wants the large sum of money offered by the king. So if he goes to that mountain, God might forgive us. If I go there and prophesy, God might show me another will. Maybe he will allow me to receive this large sum of money. He was torn between these two. How did this story end? In the book of Numbers, he schemed to get the people of Israel to commit adultery with Moabite women, and the people of Israel sinned. Balaam's lust overcame his faith. Balaam's delusion went even farther than Cain's, and he not only deliberately rebelled against God, but also led people to sin. He cried, "Lord, Lord," with his mouth, and appeared to obey, but his lust overcame his faith, and Israel, who was in front of the promised land of Canaan, fell into sin because of him. Through the story of Balaam, Jude is saying that there were people and leaders in the church at that time who were blinded by prophet like Balaam and were torn between faith and lust, also leading others to sin. He is talking about people who cried, "Lord, Lord," with their mouth, but were overcome by lust. Next is the rebellion of Korah. Korah's event occurred in the wilderness in Book of Numbers chapter 16. In the historical order, the order should be Cain, Korah, and Balaam, but Jude put Korah last. This seems to warn that the last of the three was the most serious. Korah was of the tribe of Levi, who rebelled against Moses and Aaron. In the book of chapter 16, verse 3, we read, "They came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron and said to them, 'You have gone too far. The whole community is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourselves above the Lord's assembly? Korah's rebellion was not by himself alone, but a group of people gathered with him. According to Numbers chapter 16, verse 2, with them were 250 Israelites men, well-known community leaders who had been appointed members of the council. So it was a group of leaders who were with Korah. They claimed the whole community is holy. They misunderstood the concept of holiness. The leaders were all trapped with this misconception, and based on the misconception, they united in one to rebel against Moses and therefore against God. In verse 19, Korah had gathered all his followers in opposition to them at the entrance to the tent of meeting. This followed by the scene to wait for God's verdict. I think that gathering everyone together to wait for God's verdict shows a great deal of self-confidence of the group. They were confident. We are right. We are absolutely right in God's eyes, they thought. I think Korah was very persuasive. He was able to move people's hearts, propose ideas that people could feel were rational, and he also had the leadership skills. In some ways, Korah may have been a charismatic person in modern times. However, his ideas about what is holy were wrong, and his actions were quite contagious. As a result, everything that belonged to the group of people, including their possessions, was swallowed up by the land and destroyed. By giving these examples, I think Jude was trying to say that there were leaders in the church at that time who taught such wrong concepts. They said that they believed in Jesus Christ, and even though they knew God's law and will, they were people who, like Cain, did not obey for various excuses and reasons, and perhaps they thought maybe that is not God's will, and were like Balaam, wavering between greed and faith. They may also have been people who, in the name of ethics and morality, made additional demands about God's order and the salvation they have received, and taught erroneous teachings. They were also people who did not realize their own mistakes, because in Jude chapter verse 12, it says that they participated in a love feast together. They did not even realize that they had made a mistake. It is clear that they were not people who openly said not to believe in Jesus. They had fellowship in the church, attended meetings, and called out to believe in Jesus. However, Jude makes it clear that in reality, they were people who did not obey God, were profiteers, and complainers of God's word. Clearly, they are not people who openly say that they do not believe in Jesus. They fellowshipped in the church, attended meetings, and called out to believe in Jesus. In a sense, these are subtle erosions that are invisible to the naked eye. They are subtle erosion of faith that no one can detect except the person himself. So Jude begins by asking what the church should do. First, it is a matter of where we should base our faith on. We must stand on the most holy faith. So what is the most holy faith? It is the gospel. a gospel that is not according to will of man. It is not the product of man's collective imagination, nor is it derived from man's theory or morality, nor is it some new theological idea. It is not some biblical word that has been forcibly combined to justify man's ideas. It is from God, the one who existed before the creation of heaven and earth. So, although it is difficult to fully understand, it is the most holy, and it has the power to sanctify the saints. In the Old Testament, everything that belongs to the holy God is holy, and God's judgment against those who plunder or mislead it is shown in many places in the scripture. We must build ourselves on the gospel that comes from God, the Bible as a whole, with a strong conviction and a loving heart. Growing as a Christian is to be aligned with God based on the gospel in the whole life, our mind, actions, conscience, motives, imagination. That is a lifelong activity. The lifelong activity needs the help from the Trinity God, as it is written in verse 20. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. The way of Cain, the confusion of Balaam, and the rebellion of Korah, which I briefly mentioned earlier, are very likely to seep into our lives of faith without us realizing it. We may be lost and rebelling without even realizing it. That is why we wait for the mercy of Christ, because no Christian is good enough to receive God's grace, and the only way to be with God forever is to wait for God's mercy. Jude goes on to say that after grounding ourselves in God's holy faith, he asks the church to help and teach those whom we encounter who are under these dangerous influences. He says to have mercy, not to condemn, hate, or reject them. He tells us that just as we are the recipients of mercy, they are also the objects of mercy. Verse 23, save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. For some, the fire as a punishment awaits, but Jude says that we need to educate them, instruct them, and pray for them. It says, to others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. We need to recognize what is wrong is wrong. By showing mercy, we should not downgrade or change God's standard or the criteria of the sin. I think that hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh means that we must recognize and fear the possibility that we may be tainted by a wrong thinking, man-made ideas, new theology, without even realizing it. The standard is always God's law first and mercy second. If the conditions for salvation were lowered, wouldn't people repent? If there was no judgment, more people would gather in church. Judge Jude is saying that we cannot lower God's standards because we think that the more people would repent. Doesn't the same apply to us? We are also living in this end time. As said in verse 18, it is time to remember the story that the apostle said, in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. There will be people who twist God's words to suit their own needs. And they were already there in the time of Jude, who wrote the letter. So I think they are still there in our time. We should not be afraid of it. Jude ends his letter by this prayer, verse 24. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. There is the only God, Christ is, who can keep us from stumbling and present us before God's glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Let us conclude. There might be the rebellion against God in us without our recognition. Cain's path is the path I might walk. Balaam's confusion may be my own confusion. And Korah's rebellion may be the rebellion against God that lurks within me. Let us base ourselves on the gospel that comes from God. It is not of man, nor is it some new theological idea, but it comes from God, who existed before the creation of heaven and the earth. So let us build ourselves and be built by God on the most holy faith. In this fight for the faith of Christians, Jesus, who protects and stands us, is with us. Let us learn unity with God and the true meaning of holiness through our lifelong activities. Let us pray.